and amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, well, tonight's message is titled, Not Just Healed, But Made Completely Whole. Not just healed, but made completely whole. So we've been learning about healing from multiple avenues. And tonight I've been led to talk about being made completely whole. Because some of us have issues that are ongoing, but God wants us to be completely whole. And we've learned all along that it's always God's will to heal. But I believe God's perfect will is that we don't get sick and we walk in divine health. Amen. That's what I believe God wants for us. In fact, when you look at creation, you look at Adam and Eve, it was never God's will for them to have sickness and disease. There wasn't any sickness and disease until sin came into the picture. So God's will was that his creation would be healthy. No sickness, no disease. And many are healed when they, say, come to a healing service or a pastor calls out a condition, and they leave changed or improved, but Jesus wants us to be completely whole. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice for that to happen. And I often think if the roles were reversed and let's say I was Jesus and I provided everything for my creation, for mankind, I took all your sickness and disease, but yet people are walking around sick, how would I feel? You ever thought about that? You know, I did the ultimate sacrifice and none of you need to be sick, okay? None of you need to be sick because I took care of that for you, but that's not what he's seeing happen. So we need to change that. We need to reverse that and make it that it's on our part that that's going to happen. So one of the greatest blessings that we can have in life next to a personal relationship with Jesus is to walk in divine health and wholeness. And it's wonderful to be healed from a condition, but it's better to not get sick to start with. Amen? Amen? So I got something in the mail today, and it was kind of interesting. And, you know, our immune systems need to be strong to fight off any kind of attack that may come. And this is not something I have in my daily prayers, but I'll be praying about it. But it was talking about confessions for the immune system. And it's saying, and I'll just read this to you, it says, I am immune to sickness and disease. And praise God, that is a confession that we need to consider. Okay, I am immune to sickness and disease. I recognize and accept that which is good. I'm able to stand in the presence of sickness and infirmity without fear or sense of inferiority. God fights my battles for me as I rest in safety, for he is my fortress. No evil will come upon me, nor any plague near my dwelling. And of course, you know that's from Psalm 91. But it says, my immune system functions perfectly in the way God created it to function. It is fully developed and balanced. Wisdom is imparted to my immune system today to reject that which is evil and accept all that is good. So that would be a step in the direction of maintaining divine health. Amen? So you can think about that one. But what do we mean? And when we say, what is it to be completely whole? And have you ever heard of nothing broken, nothing missing? We heard that phrase. I think maybe about 20 years ago, it became kind of popular, and there was a lot about, you know, nothing broken, nothing missing. And that's true. If somebody's completely whole, you are. There's nothing broken in your life, and nothing is missing. So it's not uncommon for someone to come up for prayer if they have symptoms in their body. They come up for one thing, but sometimes people walk around with a condition that's been around for, you know, maybe 20 years or 10 years, and they just kind of accept it. And we shouldn't. We shouldn't accept it, okay? Or maybe somebody has lost a loved one recently. They cry themselves to sleep at night, thinking that God can't do anything about their broken heart, and they're slowly sinking into depression. But the truth is that God wants to heal the broken heart. Amen. Okay? We know that from Scripture. And a broken heart cannot be seen with the physical eye. There's no medical instrument that can be used to find a broken heart, yet it is one of the most serious conditions a person can face. It's real, and God can heal it. Amen. God wants to heal it. He doesn't want anybody walking around with a broken heart. And also in that area, okay, if that is not healed, if that condition is not healed, it can lead to a root of bitterness and open the door for the enemy. And boy, will he have a heyday if he can get in through that. Because healing of the soul covers a large area, and kind of another message for another time, but we have to understand that if we're going to be completely whole, we have to deal with the emotional part of things as well. Okay, so God doesn't want a root of bitterness. He doesn't want anything going on in our life that's going to start to take us down a slippery slope. We need to address things as soon as they manifest, as soon as the enemy throws a symptom your way, just, you know, get back at him and send it back to him. You know, that return serve on the tennis court, right, Sheila? So, yes, we don't want anything to get a root. But sometimes the attitude is that God can only fix one thing, and I'll just maybe give him the easiest thing, and I'll just, you know, struggle with the other part. Wrong thinking. We need to give him everything. Amen? Now, what has happened in the world is medicine has categorized things. Medicine has specialized and segregated things, okay? So years ago, you had one doctor you went to, and he was your general practitioner, and he was the family doctor. Today, you don't go to your dermatologist and ask him to take care of your high blood pressure. You don't go to the orthopedic surgeon and ask him to treat your diabetes. You know, everything is categorized, all right? And so we need to beware that that is not our Jesus. That's not the way he operates. That's not the way it is, because he is the great physician, the healer of everything and anything. So there isn't anything that he cannot address or take care of. No condition, nothing that our great physician can't heal. So sometimes it is us who have to change our thinking, because we are not of this world. All right? And our first step should be to take it all to Jesus as soon as we are aware of it. There have been people who came up for prayer for one thing and they left healed of everything, okay? They may have come up for a back problem and then they go home and find out that this other condition that they'd been believing God for is resolved, taken care of. So that's the way, that's exactly how our God operates. He wants to take care of the whole picture. He doesn't want any of his children experiencing any sickness or disease, since he already paid the price so we could be completely whole. So let's look first at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'm going to read it both from the King James and the Amplified. Say amen when you get there. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Now, I'm aware also that some translations say H-O-L-Y, but the King James here is holy. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, the word holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, there means entire. So you're going to hear me switch back and forth with different words. We're going to look at some definitions, but when you hear like whole or complete, entire, they're synonymous in many of the readings. But this word here means entire, and it means complete, sound in every part, whole, W-H-O-L-E, and it's used to indicate that every grace present in Christ should be manifested in a believer. It should be manifested in the believer. Every grace present in Christ should be manifested in the believer, okay? Because we are complete. Let's look at James 1:4. We're just going to look at this word, perfect and entire. James 1. Say amen when you get there. It says, but let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Okay, that's what God wants for us, wanting nothing. So the word perfect here indicates the development of every grace into maturity. So we have a lot of things when we're born again, but some things we do have to develop. We have to walk these things out. So God is not just interested in us living holy, H-O-L-Y, lives, but he wants us whole, W-H-O-L-E, complete or entire in every aspect of our lives. Many people do not understand that we are tripart beings, spirit, soul, and body. And I don't think that's the case here because we've been well taught over the years. We know that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and that soul is composed of our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we live in a body, okay? But our new birth begins in our spirit. And Pastor Greg has been teaching on 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, okay? And it's carried, our new birth is carried out through our soul and is finally visible to other people through a demonstration of God's glory in our physical lives, okay? So the process starts, our spirit's brand new. It was dead to Christ, now it's brand new. And now we begin the process of living this out. And one of the key features is that we have to renew our mind on the Word of God. But one of the great things that when a person is whole that the world can see is, first of all, they'll probably see that you're not sick, you know, that you don't get sick. And if you get sick, you get better real quick. And they may see that there's a condition or a situation in your life that you got healed from that shouldn't have happened, you know. So our testimony to the world is just exactly that, that we are complete and whole. And there's nothing missing, nothing broken. And that's what God wants in our physical lives. So let's quickly look at some attributes of God that many times we disregard. I think it's important, and probably because we live in a physical realm with the five senses, and yet the spirit realm is out there and it's real, okay? It's so easy to limit God. It's easy to happen. So let's turn to Luke 1:37, familiar scripture. We've covered this before. But the more we see, hear, and think in the realm of the supernatural and in the miraculous realm, the more we can expect it to happen in our lives, okay? So one of the benefits when I was out at Rhema was that we had prayer and healing school every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you go to prayer school and then you had healing school. And it was great because we got to see people healed, and it was a regular event in the classes, a regular thing. People came from all over. They attended the healing classes in the healing school. Many of them came in the mornings, and the students weren't allowed to go there. Of course, we had classes, but they were also able to come out to the classes in the afternoon. And so they were getting overdosed, for lack of a better word, they were getting overdosed on the word, specifically about healing. Okay, so then the manifestation for the things that they were believing for were more common. All right, so when you're in that environment, just like those of you that are coming on a weekly basis, you're getting built up on the word about healing. All right, so I would take you to battle with me anytime versus somebody that, you know, new Christian that has no idea. Not that they don't have the power, but they are, you know, still learning about and renewing their mind on the word of God. So Luke 1:37, this is of course when the angel has appeared to Mary and saying, you're gonna, she's a virgin, but you're gonna have a baby. And she's like, how is this possible? And in verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And we need to get that ingrained in us. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But listen to it in the Amplified. I just love it in the Amplified. It says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. That's why we know that the word of God has power. We know that when we speak it,
it will go forth to do what it is sent to do. With God, nothing is ever impossible. No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. We know that from Isaiah, that no word from God can return void. Excuse me. Listen to it in the Phillips. For no promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. No promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. You know the promises on healing. They are available to us. Believe it, that it will be fulfilled. Amen. Let's quickly turn over to Luke 18:27. Just looking at the what God does, what he has done, and what he is able to do. Luke 18:27, and this is Jesus speaking. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Just because a doctor says something cannot be does not mean that's the final word. Amen. Amen. And also to confirm that, back over to Mark 9:23. Mark 9:23. And again, it's Jesus who's speaking, 9:23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. So praise God. If Jesus raised the dead, so can we. Praise God. Now, week before last, I was down in Lancaster at the Rhema conference, and they had there a well-known pastor and his wife. They shared the story of the situation that happened, and the pastor was dead for 13 minutes. And you can get the story on CBN. They did it and so forth, but Pastor Jim and Pam Dumont had shared what had happened. And they had spent 38 years teaching faith and planting churches in Northwest Pennsylvania. And in September of 2018, while they were in Maine, Jim was found lifeless on the side of the road. No one knew what had happened, but prompted by the Holy Spirit, Pam immediately stopped everything, knowing she must find Jim. Something was terribly wrong. The Dumont story has amazed doctors and is a testimony to prayer and Jesus' resurrection power. During this season of ministry, Jim and Pam are telling their story and strengthening believers. Their challenge to every believer is, how well do you know Jesus? Because she tells a story that she was cooking dinner and she knew something was wrong. Something had happened. And she obeyed the Spirit and stopped what she was doing and went out to look for him. And he was dead for 13 minutes. Now, in the process of this, they got him in the hospital, and of course, they put him on life support. They have people in the church all over the country praying for him and praying, okay? Well, the doctors check him out. The doctors confirm that he's brain dead. So, now what? Okay? But they did not believe the report, and they continued to believe, and he's not responding. He's not on the sixth day. His grandchildren were there, and I believe it was that they were praying and singing to him, and he opened his eyes on the sixth day. And I kind of chuckled, and I thought, well, gee, the seven is the day of completion. I guess God's not ready for him to be, come, you know, say it's over with. God's not finished with him. So he brought him back on the sixth day. He's got more for him to do. And absolutely nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. No, nothing wrong. No brain damage. Okay. And they tell him, the wife, well, you know, when you go home, because you went after that, they put him through therapy and everything. And when you go home, there'll be things that'll be different. You can expect whatever, you know, things will be different, whatever. And she said, no, everything was, he was the same. There was nothing that was different. Because I guess they're assuming the time without oxygen and so forth created some issues. Nothing. Absolutely perfect. Okay. So medicine, and in this testimony, they played a little excerpt, a movie part, and there's a doctor there who's talking, and all the people in the hospital were absolutely stunned. Okay. But they knew that this was a miracle from God. They knew that this was of God. There was nothing medicine could do or offer. Thank you, Okay, so you need to hear those things. And some of you heard me talk about Kiki, the student at Rhema that was brain dead. Also, her process took 10 weeks, you know, but it doesn't matter. The point is that God restored these individuals, and he will restore anyone. Amen. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to be walking around, you know, halfway fixed. Okay, so we ourselves must be continually expecting, and that's a question you need to ask yourself, do I expect God to do a miracle? Yeah. Am I expecting God to do a miracle in this situation when I go before him? So just a kind of a quick review, we know we're going to talk about the omnis of our God. We know that God is omnipotent, and he has all power, and it's important sometimes that we take a minute and remember some of the stories in the Bible or even in your own life where he intervened, parted the Red Sea, defended Israel against enemies in some impossible situations. I mean, he raised Jesus from the dead. When he parted the Red Sea, they went across on dry ground, that in itself, okay? And there wasn't one feeble one among them. So we need to be thinking, well, we're under a new and better covenant. And so why not be expecting God to do the same? So he's also omniscient. We know that that means he's all-knowing. He knows everything from the past, the present, the future. He knows what you're going to do next week. He knows what you did last night. He's also omnipresent. That means he's available worldwide, all the time and everywhere. And the other part, and this one I love, he's omnificent, O-M-N-I-F-I-C-E-N-T, which means he is all creative, all right? So he's ever able to fix that which needs to be fixed. So he can grow out an amputated arm or leg. He can cause somebody's dead organs to come back to life. Somebody may have kidney failure. Well, that doesn't stop God. That doesn't mean something's impossible. Doctor may tell somebody, well, your heart's a mess and you need a new heart. People are on transplant lists, okay? But God can fix it, all right? He can replace an organ that wasn't there or change somebody's blood composition from disease to normal. There's no limits. That's the point I want to drive home. There's no limits for our God. So just don't limit him in your situation. Upgrade your thinking, go first class, you know? Smith Wigglesworth had said, there is nothing impossible with God. All the impossibility is with us when we measure God by the limitations of our unbelief. So just say this, say, there's no deadness in my body, that the resurrection power of God can't fix. Amen? So keep that foremost in your mind there. So we're going to look at some definitions, but let me say that one word can have multiple meanings and uses. When you look up the word healing, there's different Greek words that are translated in the Bible for heal or healing. But sometimes it's important to go back and look at what specifically does that word mean. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And the first definition, the first word I want to look at is whole, W-H-O-L-E, or wholesome. Whole, W-H-O-L-E. It means complete, perfect, entire, full, or total. It means healthy or well. I'll say it again. Complete, perfect, entire, full or total, healthy or well. It means containing all the elements properly belonging. In other words, nothing's missing. In one piece, undivided, uninjured, undamaged, unbroken, and sound. So that's something is whole. Now, depending on the Greek word used, sometimes salvation is included in there, in that word. The word complete, I'm going to give you definitions for complete from the dictionary as well as from the Strong's Concordance. The word complete from the dictionary means perfect, exactly right, having all its parts, whole, entire, finished, thorough, having all the required or customary characteristics, skills, or the like. It means to make whole, entire, or perfect. So you can see again, there's a lot of these words interacting. We talked about, you know, complete, wholeness, entire. They are synonymous. So I'll just repeat that one again. From the dictionary, perfect, exactly right, having all its parts, whole, entire, finished. And when I thought of the word finished, I thought about Calvary, because everything was finished at Calvary so that we could be complete. Thorough, having all the required or customary characteristics, skills, or the like, and to make whole, entire, or perfect. Now, in the Strong's Concordance, the definition for complete is to make replete, R-E-P-L-E-T-E, and replete simply means abundantly supplied or provided, filled, stuffed or gorged with food and drink, filled up, satiated. And all I could think of was, you know, when you go to the buffet and you go back three times and now you're ready to bust because you've eaten too much. You got buffeted instead of buffeted. So it means to furnish, satisfy, execute an office. Again, the word finish, verify, accomplish, be complete, fill up, fulfill, perfect, and supply. So, again, complete. Now, many people never feel fulfilled in life, no matter how rich they are, no matter how much money they have, or how successful, or how educated. And the reason is because only Jesus can fulfill a person. Only Jesus can fulfill someone. Sorry, folks that are married, okay? Your mate's not the one that completes you. Yes, they do to a certain degree, okay? But it's really Jesus that is the one that completes us and makes us whole. When we accepted Jesus Christ at salvation, we became whole. Already done. Salvation provided for us to be whole. Let's turn to Colossians 2:10. Colossians 2:10. I'm going to read it from the New King James, the Passion, and the Amplified. Familiar scripture, Colossians 2:10. Say amen when you're there. Okay. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You're not complete in your job. You're not complete. Your job doesn't make you complete. Your education doesn't make you complete. But you are complete in him, Jesus Christ. And the Passion says, and our completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. So when we are overflowing, that's the part that the world sees. Okay, we are complete in him, and they are seeing us fulfilled. The Amplified says, and you are in him, made full, and having come to fullness of life, in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you reach full spiritual stature, and he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. So we are complete in Jesus, and he made us whole, entire, and perfect. The other word that we're going to look at, definition, is salvation. And in the Greek, sometimes you will see sozo, the Greek word for when healing is translated. And salvation, or sozo, sometimes soterio, it denotes deliverance, preservation, and salvation. This word suggests something that is delivered or rescued, rescued from an illness, revived, salvaged, and protected as if not safe and secure. Salvation also means safety. It means health. It means physical healing, prosperity, and the spiritual and eternal deliverance granted immediately by God to those who accept his conditions of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, in whom alone it is to be obtained. Salvation includes, when you look at that, it's very encompassing, but it also includes deliverance from evil, both temporal and eternal. So Salvation refers to spiritual and material preservation, deliverance from the fear of danger as well as pardon, means restoration, healing, wholeness, and soundness in spirit, soul, and body. So it's true that when you make Jesus your Lord, you are saved from the penalty of sin. We see that from Romans 5:9. You've been delivered from hell and you're headed for heaven. But salvation also includes a life of freedom. Okay, that's deliverance from the dominion of sin in this life, here on earth, Romans 6:14. So thank God you don't have to sin anymore. You've been born of God and you have the power to live a holy life, a life of freedom. And that freedom includes deliverance from alcohol, drugs, pornography, obsessions, anything that the devil will try to put on you to destroy you. You are free from it. Salvation also means it protects you from earthly dangers. I mean, just try crossing the street sometimes, okay? Psalm 91 tells us that you will be delivered from pestilence, which includes serious sickness and disease, famine, earthquakes, and other calamities. It says that you'll be protected from sudden death that comes by the weapons of men, okay? Weapons may be formed, but they will not prosper. It promises you a long, satisfying life and deliverance from every kind of trouble that comes your way. So we're going to look at some scriptures where Jesus healed and the people were made whole, W-H-O-L-E. And I think we'll have time to get through them all. But I want to give you them, I'll give you them first and break them down for you in case you want to kind of look them up on your own. But in these verses, when I was looking in the concordance, I thought it was interesting. In these verses, Jesus says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Thy faith hath made thee whole. So in the New Testament, you're going to see Jesus saying this in three different healings. And each time the definition in the Strong's concordance includes sozo or salvation. So the first story that we're going to look at, well, it's not the first one we're going to look at, but one of the scriptures that where Jesus says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," we had the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Okay, so in Matthew 9:22, Mark 5:34, and Luke 8:48, three different gospels talk about the woman with the issue of blood. Okay, and in the end, Jesus is the one that says to her, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Then the other one we're going to look at is Mark 10:52, and this is the story of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus says the same thing to him. And then we're going to look at Luke 17:19 about the 10 lepers. And I find that story, they're all beautiful stories that share the compassion of Jesus. So the first one we're going to look at, if you want to turn to Luke 17, and we're going to look at the 10 lepers, and I'm going to read it in the King James translation to start with, and then the Passion. And this is the 10 lepers. We're going to read verses 11 to 19. Say amen when you get there. Okay. So I'm going to read from the King James first. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." And as you know, they have to be yelling, "Unclean, unclean," because they are not to approach other people, and they don't want other people to approach them. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Now we're going to look at that word cleansed in a minute. Verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." Now, you know, in the Old Testament, there was issues with the Samaritans and the Jews. They were not considered the pure Jews, so to speak. Verse 17, "And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So in verses 14 and 17, the word cleansed, in the Greek word, it's katharizo. It means to make clean, purge, purify, to cleanse from disease as of leprosy. And in a moral sense, it's cleansed from the defilement of sin. Now, here we see cleansed, or it's also some places translated as healed, all right? And then in verse 15, we see another word, healed, but it's a different word on healing. It's iomei, and it means to cure as a verb. It means to heal and to make whole. But then in verse 19, the word whole there is sozo, and that means to deliver, protect, heal, preserve, to save, do well, be or make whole, and in passive voice, to be made whole or to be whole. So in these scriptures, you're seeing several different things that look like healing, but they have some little different connotations. So of the 10 lepers, 9 were healed from leprosy, but 1 was made whole. This means that he didn't just experience physical healing, but it includes restoration of all he lost because of the leprosy. That's what salvation is, okay? Salvation makes you whole. So sickness and disease can destroy families, finances, living conditions. It can destroy your ability to work, because remember now, with leprosy, there's probably body parts that had fallen off. They may have lost fingers, parts of their face. It stops their ability to be in social environments. There's social implications, especially with families. But being made whole meant that the restoration of his family, the money, his home, his capacity to work, acceptance back into society, Jesus paid it all. Okay? So everything was restored because he was made whole. So when you are whole, there's nothing missing, nothing broken. You are complete and perfect. So just listen to the same verses here, but I'm going to read it from the Passion. Jesus traveled on toward Jerusalem and passed through the border region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered one village, 10 men approached him, but they kept their distance, for they were lepers. And they shouted to him, Mighty Lord, our wonderful master, won't you have mercy on us and heal us? When Jesus stopped to look at them, he spoke these words, go to examine yourself by the Jewish priests. Go be examined by the Jewish priests. They set off, and they were healed while walking along the way. One of them, a foreigner from Samaria, when he discovered that he was completely healed, turned back to find Jesus, shouting out joyous praises and glorifying God. When he found Jesus, he fell down at his feet and thanked him over and over, saying to him, you are the Messiah. You are the Messiah. This man was the Samaritan. So even though Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet, I believe that it was at this very moment this Samaritan believed he was the Messiah, and this man had eternal life. Okay? Verse 17. So where are the other 9? Jesus asked. Weren't there 10 who were healed? They all refused to return to give thanks and give glory to God except you, a foreigner from Samaria. Then Jesus said to the healed man lying at his feet, arise and go. It was your faith that brought you salvation and healing. Okay? The Samaritan's wholeness included eternal life. Praise God. But also note that the one who came back to give thanks got the wholeness. Okay, the other 9, well, that's on them. But I'm going to look at this and summarize some key factors. There was 8 points that kind of stood out when we look at this segment of scriptures here. Number 1, when one is diagnosed with leprosy, they're considered unclean. And as you know, they could not be close to anyone in public. They had to be yelling unclean. They couldn't be around people. So this had to be very humiliating not to mention the rejection that they experienced emotionally. They can't be with their families, okay? They associated, in the Old Testament, you'll see this in Leviticus 13, they associated holiness, H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S, with wholeness. So they in their thinking, and I believe in some Christian settings and churches, you might even experience that if there was something wrong with you physically, then you aren't holy. That you must have done something wrong, okay? And some people think that way, okay? You must have sinned that this disease has come upon you. But skin diseases made one unclean because he was not pure and whole. And as I said, you can see that in Leviticus 13. The second point was that when Jesus told them to show yourselves to the priest, this was to obtain testimony that the foul disease had disappeared and that they might enter society again. They were cleansed, they were healed. It also showed that Jesus obeyed the law. The third point, perhaps the others who were Jews felt that healing was their due since they were of the chosen race. Or could it have been that they didn't want to acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah? Samaritan did. The fourth thing, ingratitude did not deny Christ's mercy to the nine, but did deprive them of fellowship with him and eternal life. Ingratitude didn't deny Christ's mercy to the nine, but they didn't get the eternal life. Number five, ingratitude is a great and very common sin, and many forget to show their gratitude even today. A sign of the end times is people being unthankful. So we can learn from this. In fact, it seems that one of the attitudes that a lot of people have, I kind of see it with some of the youth more so, is one of entitlement. They feel they're entitled to have whatever they want. The sixth point was that the one Samaritan who was healed and made whole tells us that the gospel was not to be confined just to the Jews. Jesus didn't turn away the Syrophoenician woman, didn't turn away the Samaritan, and so forth. Okay, it was for others, including the Jews. But he came to the Jews first. Number seven, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you from this terrible disease. So faith simply connected the Samaritan with the healer, Jesus Christ, and he does the healing. And it's the same today. It's your faith that connects you today to Jesus. All right? It's still available to us today. And number eight, the Samaritan's wholeness was salvation, which included the healing and eternal life. So when we get born again, our spirits transitioned from being dead to life and became whole and perfect. Then God preserved it by sealing us with the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 1:13. But we still have to renew our mind on the Word of God so that we do not conform to the world, and then we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as we said, the perfect will is to walk in divine health. Amen. So now let's look at the second set of scriptures, which is about the woman with the issue of blood. Let's go to Matthew 9, chapter 20. I'm sorry, Matthew 9, verse 20. And we're going to read verses 20 to 22. The woman with the issue of blood. Say amen when you get there. Okay. Matthew 9, verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, the three times the word whole is used there, it's the word sozo. So once again, this denotes salvation, which includes healing as well as eternal life. Now, let me just read it in the Passion. Suddenly, a woman came from behind Jesus and touched the tassel of his prayer shawl for healing. She had been suffering from continual bleeding for 12 years, but had faith that Jesus could heal her. For she kept saying to herself, if I could only touch his prayer shawl, I would be healed. Just then, Jesus turned around and looked at her and said, my daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has healed you. And instantly, she was healed. So touching his prayer shawl is part of Jewish tradition and more accurate to what she actually did. Now, we have the same story. Let's go over to Mark 5, Mark 5, 25. We're going to look at the same story here, and then we're going to pull out some key points. Verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But the disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole story. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And in the King James, it uses the word whole, W-H-O-L-E, instead of well. "Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." So let's look at some key points as we look at this. These scriptures here, okay? Number one, her pull of faith was strong enough to attract the sensitive spirit of Jesus, okay? He had all the gifts of the Spirit so he could discern all diseases and he could discern who had them, but he still asked, "Who touched me?" He knew that virtue went out of him, and I believe that he wanted to identify her. Number two, she knew that the blue tassel represented the word of God and that here was a true Israelite whose hem was not worn in hypocrisy. It stood for the covenant of healing and the word that healed all Israel. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Three, this woman was an example of true faith and determination, which we all can follow. She risked being stoned, knowing that Jesus could heal her. Her condition was desperate, but she exercised her faith. Okay? She could have been stoned to death. We all know that, but she still stepped out in faith. She was desperate. After all, there was nothing that they were doing for her medically. The doctors used up her money, and nothing happened. Nothing changed. The fourth thing, she had already tried all human remedies without success. But then she tried the great physician. And some of us can learn from this because many times we'll go to the doctor first instead of going to the great physician when we already have Jesus. She didn't have Jesus, but she heard about him. Thank God. The fifth thing, the evidence of her healing was that she stopped bleeding and she felt it. Her healing was instant. Six, your personal faith will get from God that for which you believe. Your personal faith will get from God that for which you believe. This is an unfailing law. Seven, she spent all she had, but because she met up with Jesus and was made whole, she would have all of this restored. She's got her family back. She's socially acceptable now. Everything, finances, everything is now restored because she's been made whole. And number eight, she planned her procedure and even verbalized it out loud. She spoke it and she went out after it, okay? So Luke shares the same story in Luke 8, verse 43 to 40, but I believe it's already been covered. All the details that we looked at in Matthew and Mark were covered. So let's go now to Mark 10, the third story, and this is about blind Bartimaeus. Mark 10, verse 46 to 52. We're going to look at that. Say amen when you get there. Okay. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. When they were all telling him, Be quiet, hold your peace, okay? And he, verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Casting away his garment. Now, many of you probably know that his garment was a beggar's garment, okay? And in their society, the coat that you wore said who you were. If you were royalty, if you were priest, whatever, the coat you wore signified that. So this coat, this garment that he wore said, I'm a beggar. However, the statement that he was making with this act of faith is, I am no longer blind. When he cast that away. Verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Again, we see completeness here. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So, some key points here. Number one, his lifestyle as a beggar was over once he exercised his faith in Jesus. He stepped out just like the woman with the issue of blood, all right? So he exercises his faith in Jesus, and the beggar lifestyle, the blindness, is gone. Number two, Bartimaeus acknowledges the messiahship of Jesus when he calls him Son of David. We've seen that in the scriptures. They acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah, just like the Samaritan did, okay? You are the Messiah. Number three, he let nothing stand in his way of getting to Jesus. When he was hushed by the people, he cried out all the more. A good example of determination for us to learn from, okay? Number four, not just calling out to Jesus louder, but throwing off his garment was also acting in faith. Because we know that faith, it's important that we act. Faith is an action, okay? We demonstrate our faith by doing something, and this is what he did, okay? Faith without works is dead. Five, Jesus knew what he needed, but he wanted him to be specific and express his faith. So we are to ask, seek, and knock, because faith speaks. Faith speaks. And we know that. And we, you know, from Mark 11, we look at the story of the fig tree. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and then he uses that as an example to teach the disciples. So we see in verse 22, 23, we're told there three times to speak to the mountain. Not speak about it, speak to it, okay? And so this is what it's about. You're speaking to the mountain. Not about it. You speak to it. Your faith speaks to it and commands what you want, what you're desiring, okay? You speak the end result. So faith speaks. And number six, because the word whole, W-H-O-L-E, includes salvation, Bartimaeus had restored to him all that the condition of blindness stole. And you know, in the Old Testament, many of the beggars were found outside of the temples. Okay, we saw that in Acts. They're outside the temples, and the only way they could survive was begging for money. And people would give to them, but that was, you know, they're begging for money. But that's how they survived. So now he can get a job. He can have a place to live. He no longer has to wear the beggar's garment. He's been restored. That wholeness that Jesus provided. So when Jesus said, Thy faith hath made thee whole. That word whole includes salvation. And just like we said with the nine lepers, some of those nine lepers only had physical healing. But the one Samaritan was made completely whole. He had salvation too. So it appears that when the individuals used their faith, Jesus knew it. He knew that they believed in him as the Messiah. And we can see that. It's pretty evident there. As he knew that they were not only believing him for the healing, but they believed he was the one that could do it. Because the Messiah was predicted in the Old Testament as the one that would be a healer. So they ended up with eternal life. Okay? Note that they used their faith. So when we're talking about wholeness, doesn't the scripture tell us that it's God's desire that all men be saved and come into knowledge of the truth? Okay? So that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He came to provide salvation, which is inclusive of wholeness. Now, there are people that are not going to get saved. We know that. But that doesn't mean that's not God's desire for them. Okay? There are people that are going to be healed, but not accept Jesus as the healer. Okay? There's people that go to healing conferences and they'll go up and they have a miracle, but they never go back to church. Okay? So there's all kinds of things that go on out there, but the desire, the perfect will of God is that we walk in divine health and that we be completely whole, nothing broken, nothing missing. Amen? So healing is the dinner bell, and people need to know that only God can make them whole, entire, and complete. And it is His heart's desire to do so. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You continue to bring us to a higher level. You want us to go first class. You've provided it all. It was finished at Calvary. It's done. There's absolutely nothing missing, nothing broken. And so we thank You that You provided healing for us. When You said it is finished, we believe that. We receive the healing. We acknowledge that it's done. And we take by faith the wholeness that You provided for us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that it's forever settled in heaven and it cannot return void. And we give You all praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.